department of research is reflected in the detail heavy storyline. It is a story Parker wrote with Jean Celestin and is a direct look into the brief life of Nat Turner, a Virginia-born slave and Baptist preacher. As a boy, he was marked as special, having three birthmarks down his chest, a sign that he'd become a future leader and prophet. He also had an uncanny ability in teaching himself to read, a crime for any slave to be literate. The mistress of his plantation encouraged this ability, but only through Bible reading. Knowledge from other books was off limits. He had visions of African ancestors and symbolic messages from God to spur his choices of action. Considering the time period, his mother and other plantation slaves had it somewhat better than their peers elsewhere in Southampton County. Nate was allowed to run and play with the young Turner heir, Samuel, and was treated rather kindly by Samuel's mother, Elizabeth. Nate's early years seem somewhat unrealistically idyllic. As an adult preacher, Nate worked for his former playmate so Samuel could earn money for his economically faltering cotton plantation. Nate offered neighboring slaves a biblical brainwashing, quoting passages from the Bible to keep them subservient and obedient. It was in the Puritan style, fear of God and fiery hell, that Nate lectured to other slaves, an abuse of religious fervor that continued until he witnessed rampant and extreme brutality to other Virginia slaves. The ultimate abuse that turned him away occurred when his wife was raped and beaten. It was time to rethink the direction of his calling and stop being a pawn and start thinking like an activist. A slave uprising was the Lord's message. But communication among plantations so the mass rebellion could take place couldn't come a reality that he thought was destined because slaves couldn't win against guns, rifles, horses, or cannons that they would face. And exactly that stopped the rioting before it ever gained enough momentum. Their faith in God only brought them a speedy death in the revolt, blood-soaked massacre, claiming 60 white lives, men, women, children, babies, and 200 black ones that would continue for decades with endless lynchings, burnings, mutilations, and slaughter, born of a long-lasting fear that another rebellion could occur at any time. Slave trust was gone, igniting a pervasive fear among white plantation owners that had repercussions that continued long afterward and long into the 21st century. Actors Dwight Henry, Esther Scott, Roger Guinevere Smith, and Gabriel Union round out an excellent cast, which includes a stellar performance by director Nate Parker himself as Turner. There are moments where his command of the cinematography are impressive. Antebellum Virginia is impressively portrayed, but at many times too pretty in portraying a life so ugly. If Parker errs in his cinematic telling, often it's in his heavy-handed symbolism, well-intentioned but sophomoric, interrupting the continuity, burdened at times by overly dramatic scores. Although the director has been targeted by negative press concerning his past relationships with women, this has contributed to diminishing box office receipts and the coloring of many reviews as negative. Here I'm separating the art from the artist. Nate Turner's rebellion too often is a footnote in history, but this version of Birth of a Nation serves as a reminder, however. It is undeniably, searingly powerful, tragic, and important in documenting Black history, and I recommend that you see it. And that wraps it up this week for Connie's Hot Flashes on the Movies.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Excuse me. Running very late today. Just walked in the studio. And before I get to get into my program, I want to give you a little raw sugar. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. I want you to help me. Oh, Lord, I want you to help me. Help me on my journey. Help me on my way. Oh, Lord, I want you to help me. I've been praying, I need you to help me. I've been praying, I need you to help me. Help me on my journey. Help me on my way. I've been praying, I need you to help me.
Sugar is absolutely right, Lord. I need your help. That was Raw Sugar. Oh, Lord, won't you help me? Actually, it's just, oh, Lord. But it's a great song, and I hope that you will enjoy a lot of great music here at WFT. I want to remind you that here at WFT on the Midwatch, I try to take some of the spin off the Dittohead media machine, correct the lies and misinformation of the conservative media, the corporate media, the RNC, and the leadership of the Republican Party. The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect those of WFT, its board of directors, station manager, associates, or Prairie Air, Inc. For the most part, my friends, it is me out here on this limb sawing as fast as I can, but I need your help. Then it would be your views and opinions, because it's an open line call-in show. If you like what I'm talking about, great. If you disagree with me, even better. I like debates. And I'm not one of these radio show hosts that just lets people spew out stuff that's not correct, as most of the conservative radio show hosts do, especially when it matches their own incorrect belief system. I will try to engage you with facts. Sometimes I will engage with figures. Sometimes I will engage with data. And sometimes my engagement will be based on something that I have read or seen or heard that was wrong. And when that happens, I try to recognize my mistakes. I am not perfect, as some radio show hosts would have you believe. But even those radio show hosts get it right once in a while. Rush Limbaugh, the head of the Dittohead Media, on the 12th of this month, was talking about the charges against Donald Trump for sexual assault. Here's many of people who live in Central Illinois' favorite talk show host, Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, now to this story on hypocrisy, and I know we're going to get to people on the phones. You're chomping at the bit out there to get in on this. I know you are, and we're going to come to you right after the upcoming break. But, you know, we like talk here about hypocrisy all the time, and we wring our hands and we express our frustration. How come hypocrisy never attaches itself to the Democrats, yet when it comes to Republicans, it's become a crime? Hypocrisy is a crime when Republicans are caught in it. And yet it never even attaches to Democrats. So there's a piece here called The Ugly Stench of Hypocrisy by Michael J. Hurd, Ph.D. He's a Ph.D. in psychology, Living Resources Center. The most insightful thing I've read yet about the Donald Trump sex talk scandal is this. But before, let me give you some pull quotes here before... Well, now I'll read the opening of the story and then get to the pull quotes. This is actually from 3 days ago. It just took a while for our sources to come up with it, but we've got it. The most insightful thing I've read yet about the Donald Trump sex talk scandal is this. How ironic, then, that a culture which rejects moral standards, and make no bones, folks, we do. Standards, moral standards. You stand up for moral standards, you're going to be mocked and laughed out of the room. They're going to call you a prude. They're going to call you a Victorian. They're going to call you an old fuddy-duddy, an old fogey, and they're going to claim you want to deny people having a good time. So, a culture which rejects moral standards. In other words, anything goes. You know what the magic word? The only thing that matters in American sexual mores today is one thing. You can do anything. The left will promote and understand and tolerate anything as long as there is one element. Do you know what it is? Consent. If there is consent on both or all three or all four, however many are involved in the sex act, it's perfectly fine, whatever it is. But if the left ever senses and smells that there's no consent in part of the equation, then here come the rape police. But consent is the magic key to the left.
Ah, yes, and conservatives like Rush Limbaugh and Donald Trump think consent does not matter. In the past, I've played the excerpt from Rush Limbaugh saying that sometimes when a woman says no, she doesn't really mean no. Rush Limbaugh, Donald Trump, guys like them, they don't need consent. No! That is just part of political correctness, don't you know? Consent is not necessary. We are the leaders. We are the men. And we get to do whatever the F we want to. And so many people in central and southern Illinois will back these guys to the hilt. To the hilt. The conservative media, the dittohead media, the one percenters have no limits to what they will allow corporations to do, one percenters to do, to take your money. Because that's what they want. The conservatives put a piece of legislation in effect that limits the government, the federal government's ability to control drug prices. Makes it illegal for any part of the federal government to act to control drug prices. Except for the VA. The VA can control drug prices, and they do. And that's why, in the future, that may be one of the better healthcare systems in the world, even though the Republicans think it should be privatized and put into the private sector, away from pesky government. You can't trust government. Come on. Government needs to be shrank small enough it could be drowned in a bathtub. Shrink government down to where it only has the military. Yeah, you try to drown that in a bathtub. The conservatives are not going to do away with the military. So they're not going to shrink government to the size it can be drowned in a bathtub. Wake up. There are many things in this country that need to be fixed. That doesn't mean they need to be thrown out, eliminated. It means they need to be fixed. But Republicans have this, and conservatives have this, the government is evil type attitude. They've been taught this by listening to ISIS that says the government of the United States is evil. They've been taught this by listening to people from foreign countries like Khrushchev. He said the United States was evil. Mao Zedong said the United States was evil. Ayatollah Khomeini said we were the great Satan. That's what the Republicans have been convincing you for 35 years with their corporate media, their dittohead media. The government is not the boogeyman. Those who hang a boogeyman out and run their campaigns based on fear of the other, people that are not like you, people that don't listen to dittohead media, when they hang all people that don't bow down to the conservative mantra as crackpots and kooks, we have a serious problem. Right now, in the United States of America, thanks to conservative justices on the Supreme Court, conservative justice appointments by Republican presidents, we have a situation where corporations can control our government. Individual billionaires can buy governor seats. Individual billionaires can try to buy the presidency of the United States. That one's going to fail. It's going to fail for a number of reasons, and the first one is, he's probably not even a billionaire. He'd like you to think he's a 10 billionaire. I'm not sure. Some people say he's worth as much as $3 billion, and these are pretty reliable sources. But the Trump empire is crumbling under the weight of the realization of what he really thinks. He really thinks that all people of Hispanic descent are rapists, criminals, and murderers. A judge of Hispanic descent, born in the United States of America, therefore a citizen of the United States of America, should not be able to sit in judgment on somebody like Donald Trump. And now he has surrounded himself. People think he's going to surround himself with smart people. Well, I think you got to look at what somebody has done to figure out if they're going to surround themselves with smart people. When President Barack Obama was running for the presidency, he surrounded himself with smart people. People that made sense. People that were working for the betterment of middle-class Americans. And as soon as he was elected, he took the Clinton cabinet. Essentially, he took most of the people into his administration that had been in the Clinton administration. Now, it's true they had experience in government, but did they have the backbone and the political thought process that this country needs to rebuild the middle class? And the answer to that is clearly no. The middle class has not been rebuilt under President Barack Obama. Now, that's not really his fault as much as it is the plan of the Republicans to try to dirty President Barack Obama up as much as they could, to not let him win a second term the night of the inauguration for his first term. A bunch of Republican muckety-mucks got together and decided to block everything. And in the first 2 years of President Barack Obama's administration, more than 540 actions, requests for judiciary appointments, requests for cabinet appointments, requests for ambassadorships, all this other stuff that has to go through the Senate. Blocked 540 plus times. And now, in 2016, the Republicans are praying for an ability to continue a domination of the Senate that will at least allow them to be the party of the minority, but with majority control. Because the Senate is an odd duck. It takes 60 votes to be able to get anything done that will work for America or the middle class. And the Republicans block all of that stuff they can as long as they can until you and I reach our hands out through that TV screen or that radio and grab them by the throat and say, listen, you have got to start pretending that you give a damn about me and do something. Because it all is just a pretense. The Republicans, the conservatives, would much rather put in place programs that transfer assets to the one percenters than allow middle class Americans to work a single job and have a living wage. Middle class incomes since 1980, Ronald Reagan, have been flat nationwide. And most of those middle class people, to maintain their flatness, had to take a second job. because the Republicans, the conservatives, the anti-government people have made it so that the corporations control everything. I am not convinced that Hillary Clinton is the right person to do all of the work that needs to be done. She at least has signed on to Bernie Sanders' platform, and that is now her platform. At least 80% of it is Bernie Sanders' platform. Those of you out there that think you are voting against Hillary Clinton by voting for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or somebody else that has a snowball's chance in the hecky place of getting elected are really voting for Donald Trump. When you refuse to vote for the lesser of two evils, you are voting for the greater of two evils, whether you are a conservative or a liberal. If a conservative decides he's going to vote or she's going to vote for Gary Johnson because Gary Johnson is a conservative, except when he's a liberal, and they're going to move their vote to Gary Johnson over Donald Trump, they're really voting for Hillary Clinton. And the same way for liberals. When they vote for Jill Stein, who is not even registered in all states to be on the to become president. She's not registered in all states to become president. A vote for Jill Stein is a vote for Donald Trump. Very, very wrongly, we have a two-party system. The only way to break that two-party system up is by taking over one of those parties. The conservatives, the one percenters, saw that in the 70s, early 70s, and they started planning with the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, and dozens and dozens of more conservative supposed think tanks putting out false flags and false information so that people would think that one percenters are all altruistic people, and if you give them a tax cut, they will give you a job. And that is the biggest pile of hokum that I have ever heard. A one percenter is not going to invest in you unless he thinks he's going to make a profit off of you. He is not going to build a factory unless he thinks he's going to make a profit off of that factory. And therefore, before anything happens, something has to be sold. It is the salesmen of the world that keep the economy going. It always has been, and it always will be, in my humble opinion. Well, I hope I've woven those various thought processes together in a way that makes sense to you, because somewhere in the back of this old man's head, they make sense to me. It is 29 minutes, almost 30 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. WFT is community radio for East Central Illinois. As such, we do not do commercials. We do public service announcements. Here's your first.
WEFT is sponsored by Unity Church and Spiritual Center. Unity honors the universal truths in all religion and respects each individual's right to choose a spiritual path. In addition to the Sunday 11 a.m. worship service, Unity also offers weekly meditation and Reiki, a Course in Miracles study group, a spiritual circle group, Al-Anon, and AA meetings. The complete schedule can be viewed at cunity.org and is located at 1206 East Main in Urbana.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. We can figure stuff out because I have the smartest audience in East Central Illinois. That's your cue for calling. Tonight is the night of the third and final presidential debate. Before the last presidential debate, the women who have been molested by Donald Trump, and of course, that darn word consent that Rush was just talking about kind of gets in the way of some of that. Rush and Donald don't think they need consent because they have a right. They have a right to do what they want because they're one percenters. They're multimillionaires. They live in a different world than you and I do. They live in a world where money buys them anything. And if they want silence on an issue, they know they can get it by threats, intimidation, lawsuits. Lawsuits have been a big part of Donald Trump's life. I'm talking about lawsuits between people. I'm talking about not criminal suits, criminal cases, but civil cases. You see, when Donald Trump has been building his multi-hundreds of millions of dollar properties over the past few decades, he has done that largely through the help, contracts of small businesses, middle-class families that start a business to maybe make cabinetry for kitchens and bathrooms, or maybe they start a family business to sell carpet to hotels and individuals and whatever. But they're small, relatively small. Maybe they have 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, 100 employees maybe. And because they wanted to get their foot in the door, they would frequently underbid a contract, thinking that underbidding a contract would give them a chance for a second contract. If they could just show their ability and their capabilities to the Trump organization, they may be able to be the number one supplier of whatever product they started out as a small business doing. So they bid on a contract. Right now, today, there are more than 3,000 of these individual small businesses that are suing Donald Trump because he refused to pay them even for their underpriced work. Because Donald figured, I need this for free. I need this for half price. Half price is better than paying full price from what that guy wanted. I don't give a two hoots if his materials cost him more than 75% of the contract price. I'm going to pay him 50%. And more than 3,000 people have decided to sue the Trump organizations for failure to pay contracts. Donald Trump has kept women afraid to come forward. Threats to their potential future income stream because of his power and ability. The reporter, and I forget her name, that is now big news, that Donald Trump, that was the lead reporter for Trump stories prior to 2005, he managed to get her into a room and shoved her up against a wall and started mauling her. And she was not happy about it because she didn't give that word that Rush made so much fun of. She didn't give consent to a one percenter like Rush Limbaugh or Donald Trump. Those guys don't need consent. That's what Rush was saying. We don't need no stinking consent. Somebody might call the rape police. But who gives a rat's patootie? We're one percenters. We can buy off the rape police. And maybe they can. Unfortunately, and I'm making a big swing here, so stand tall and get ready to throw a curveball or something at me. I'm getting ready for a big swing, so get your curveball humming. The rape police are the same police that are the assault police. They are the same police that are the breaking and entering police. They are the same police that are the theft police. Because that's what Donald Trump and Rush Limbaugh think they can do and get away with. Assault, theft, stealing a woman's pride and dignity, touching a woman without consent is okay with them. Because the consent police, they know to be regular police. And they know that one percenters almost always get a pass. So a woman going up against a big guy like Donald Trump with a charge, as the news reporter had, is probably going to get trampled. She was a young woman, fresh out of college. One of her mentors was a college professor that she asked for advice the day after the assault. And the professor gave her the advice to try to brush it under the rug. She followed his advice. Five other people she talked to the day of or the day after the assault. Plenty of witnesses. Not eyewitnesses, but extemporaneous witnesses. And yet, Donald Trump, his kids, his wife, his organization, the Republican Party, for the most part, are standing tall with him and helping to protect him from his own actions. When in the world are conservatives going to become family values voters and realize that people like Donald Trump and Rush Limbaugh, they don't really care about family values? Oh, they ring some of those, they blow some of those dog whistles once in a while, And people stand up on stand up and shout, "Yeah, yeah, you're right." But really? Really? It is 41 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Let's take a little break with a little Sting. If ever I lose my faith in you. Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. A little sting, if ever I lose my faith in you. And that is a big part of this program, because I have faith in you to do the right thing. The right thing means rejecting Donald Trump, in particular, and conservative Republican policies in general. I have faith in you. If you will just vote your own best interest, you will never vote for a Republican. Never. Now, maybe the Republican Party is something of a check and balance against the Democratic Party. But frankly, when it comes to which one is more honest than the other, I guess I'm on the side of the Democratic Party being more honest than the Republican Party. We've got a top Trump advisor just today. The guy's name is Roger Stone. He's the go-to guy for policy planning by Donald Trump. Alex Jones is the backup man. And both Roger Stone and Alex Jones have never seen a conspiracy that they didn't like, especially when it involved in a negative way somebody that's a member of the Democratic Party. Back in the 60s, we had a great, great Democratic president by the name of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And shortly after he became president, he decided to set the country on a path to put a man on the moon and bring him home within 10 years. Roger Stone, as far as I can tell, has been a Republican his whole life. But he's also been a wingnut his whole life, grabbing after every conceivable conspiracy, every one of them. And today, he doubled down on one of his big gotcha conspiracies. You see, according to Roger Stone, the moon landing didn't happen. You remember, the moon landing in 1969 didn't happen. It was shot on a film set in New Jersey. The whole thing was made up, according to Donald Trump's chief advisor and big contributor. He also signs on to the belief that Senator Ted Cruz's father was connected with the Kennedy assassination. He believes that Bush 41 tried to kill Ronald Reagan. And a number of other wingnut conspiracy beliefs. But now this wingnut is winging it with Donald Trump. And in order for his comments today to be true, this whole conspiracy that would have included thousands of people over decades since 1969 was led by, Richard Nixon and the Republican Party. It's too tasty. It's too tasty. This Wingnut is so crazy. And he has Donald Trump's ear that he thinks the Republican Party set up the fake moon landings in 1969 under President Richard Milhouse Nixon. And you people out there that are going to support Donald Trump, because 40% of the people in this country will be voting for Donald Trump on November the 8th, not the 28th, but the 8th. 40% of you will vote for, well, maybe not quite 40%, at least 30%. 30% of your neighbors are going to vote for Donald Trump on November the 8th. And his advisors are made up of people like Roger Stone and Alex Jones. Roger Stone is not the racist that Alex Jones is. That's why Trump has to have him as his sidekick and second in command of goofy ideas. But Alex Jones is clearly a racist. And today, just today, in about another hour and 8 minutes, Donald Trump has invited President Barack Obama's stepbrother to sit in his special box of supporters. You know, historically, at these presidential debates, presidents have had their family, other loved ones, and maybe one or two really special people. A general here, a philanthropist there, somebody that was a hero, a national hero, and maybe won the presidential Medal of Freedom Award or something like that. They have really achieving people there. And I'm not saying that Barack Obama's brother, stepbrother, is not a high achiever in Kenya. But the reason Donald Trump brought Barack Obama's brother there is clearly to continue fanning the birther crew, because there's still 20% or so of Republicans that are not convinced that Donald Trump was, or that Donald Trump, that Barack Obama was born in the United States. I was in a conversation with one of them just today that didn't know that President Barack Obama had first released his short form birth certificate from Hawaii, which is the document required by the state of Hawaii to prove identification. Then, because of assaults and innuendo and chasing by the birthers, frequently led by Donald Trump and Roger Stone, we had he released his long-form birth certificate. And today, Donald Trump is going to have Barack Obama's brother, stepbrother, in the cherished, one of the cherished seats at the debate. I think the brother is there to rekindle the birther hoo-ha, because with advisors like Roger Stone and Alex Jones, what other reason could he be there for? He's not a politician in Kenya. He's an organizer for low-income people. He helps find housing for people in Kenya as President Obama worked to find housing for people in the United States as part of ACORN, because that's what they did. Somehow, the media, the corporate media, the WDWSs of the world, need to spend a little bit of time each day just looking at one topic in the news and finding out if it's right or wrong. That's not asking too much, is it? One topic a day. That would be 365 topics a year that the corporate media could look into on their own and have data. My friend Jim Turpin, a couple of weeks ago, I told you, he didn't have the data to know that what's his name that shot that guy in Campustown a couple of weeks ago never had to have an ankle bracelet on. It wasn't a requirement of his parole. But Turpin and conservative media in general believed it was. Jim Dye from the newspaper believes that Mark Kirk has always been anti-Trump, and that's not correct. Not correct at all. Because Mark Kirk was trying to position himself to be part of Donald Trump's administration. Oh, maybe I could be in his security staff somehow. Maybe national security advisor. I know enough about that stuff. I mean, I lied about it 10 times when I was running for Senate last time, and we need more liars in government, so you could just go ahead and let me be there. Oh, my aching back. 58 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Give me a call, 217-FLY-ALIVE. That's 217-359-5483. Give me a call, add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. I swear to God we can figure stuff out. And if you think I'm full of beans, please call. Double please call. You've got your cell phone. You've got Google. Check me out. Am I right or wrong? WFT is community radio for East Central Illinois. As such, we do not do commercials. We do public service announcements. Here you go.
Programming at WEFT is sponsored in part by The Blind Man. Whether shopping for a single window treatment, redecorating your entire house, or seeking the solution to a complex design change, The Blind Man has staff with the knowledge and expertise to help put it all together. They are located at 505 South Mattis Avenue in Champaign. Phone 359-5918. Online at www.cublindman.com. or on Facebook.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Add your voice to the conversation. We can figure stuff out. It's 1 hour before the next and last debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. This is the least important debate. It is historically the least watched of the debates between the presidential candidates. And right now the pundits are trying to figure out if Donald Trump can turn his sinking poll numbers around. almost all of them have decided it's too late, Charlie. You done it. So now the Republicans are even more interested in maintaining their majority, at least in the House. I think they've pretty much given up on maintaining their majority in the Senate even. So Hillary Clinton, assuming that this happens the way the pundits think it will right now, Hillary Clinton will have a call. Well, maybe that's not for Hillary. Good evening. You're on WFT. May I have your first name, please?
Yes, Stan. This is Tyrone. How are you?
Tyrone, I'm good. How about you?
I don't know what happened the last time I got cut off when I was speaking to you, but anyway, that's another time and day. You know, I like to comment on
Tyrone?
Donald Trump's wife's interview with CNN.
Okay.
You know, that was very revealing and very interesting. And I don't see why people didn't pick up on that on the media. You know, no one knows a person better than their spouse. I want to elaborate on what she said.
Go for it.
This is not Donald. I know my husband. She said two things that was very, very important. She said she had two boys at home. Two children at home. 1 4-year-old, if I'm correct on age, and Donald. My wife ain't never called me a boy. My wife ain't never called me immature. She said she had two boys at home. This is boy talk. She has two boys at home. He acts immature. Well, I don't want an immature man, boy, rather, in the White House.
Right.
I want a stable man.
That's good.
She said something else very important, that Donald was egged on. Listen to that. It's not Donald's fault.
No.
The interviewer on the bus was egging Donald on. So
right.
You mean to tell me that this boy, because you said he was a boy, I'm not disrespecting, I'm commenting on what she said.
She did.
Can be easily misled. Because that's what she said.
Or sucked into a trap.
Exactly. And it's proven. It's proven by his own behavior, because whenever somebody says something about him, he gets up 2 o'clock in the morning and go through a tweeting fit or reacts crazy. You know what I'm saying? So she is correct. She knows her husband better than anyone. And she basically told America who her husband is. And it's amazing that the interviewer didn't pick that up. He was egged on. He can easily be influenced.
Well, Tyrone, two things. First thing is, last time you were on, I was up against the hour and I had to get off the air. And I apologize, I didn't really try
up
on you.
I tried
to get off the air because the next show was coming up.
Right, I didn't take it personal.
Well, you said the last time you kind of got hung up on. So, you know, I'm just saying that I didn't really hang up on you. I just had to go to the next show.
No, I said I got cut off. I mean, it could have been the telephone going up. I don't know. I didn't take it personal. You know.
Okay.
I didn't even mention that. So, you know, let's move on from that. It ain't no big deal.
Let's move on from there. It's a really good idea because you're going to like what I'm going to say next. And Tyrone, you are exhibit one in the reality that I have the smartest audience in Central Illinois. Because you just pointed out something that I now remember Melania Trump saying that didn't really register to me that way when she was saying those things about Donald.
Yes.
So congratulations. Exactly. Good job.
Yes. You know, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but my mother told me that hearing is a blessing and listening is an art. Listen to what people say. And it is amazing that Donald is telling America who he is. And America is not listening. They're not listening.
The scary part about that, Tyrone, is the fact that America is listening, but about 30% of America would vote for anybody with an R behind their name because they believe that republicanism is a good thing.
Well, we know what drives republicanism. hatred.
It does, to a very real extent.
That
is conservatism that drives hatred.
Of course.
Because back in the 1800s, it was Democrats that were wrapped up in hatred.
Right.
And it was the Republican Party that was the liberal party.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt was a Republican, and he gave us our national park system.
Right. Then the Southern Strategy occurred.
Correct.
The Southern Strategy, yes.
Yep.
Yes. I'm fully aware of all that.
Yep.
I'm fully aware of all that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a problem,
yeah.
And I don't think there's any way to get away from it, because there will always be those ideologues.
Mm-hmm.
Whether those ideologues are political ideologues, or those ideologues are religious ideologues.
Exactly.
You have the Jewish people that are strict Jewish adherents to the Bible, and you have the Muslim people that are strict adherents to the Quran.
Right.
You have people that are very, very conservative in all facets. You have very, very conservative Republicans. You have very, very conservative Democrats.
Yeah, but the Republicans, you know, they got an agenda. You know what I'm saying? You know, in my opinion, they've been trying to dismantle, you know, this government for a while. You know, and I believe that. I believe that they want to dismantle this government and install it, install a different form of government. I really believe that.
Well, they want it to be a they want it to be a libertarian type of government where the guy with the biggest gun gets to shoot the most people or whatever you want to.
You know, they tried that before. They called that the Wild West. You know what I'm saying? And it didn't work out too well. You know what I mean? You know, so now they want to arm everybody. And it ain't going to work out well this time. You know, and the genie is out the bottle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't see how the genie gets put back in.
I don't see how it does either, Tyrone. But let me point out one thing. Let me just get your take on this. Last June, a year ago June, in 2015, the state of Illinois was required to allow people in Chicago to own guns.
Mm-hmm, because of the Supreme Court ruling.
Right. Now, mm-hmm. can you imagine any other outcome that would come from that than an increase in gun crime?
Exactly.
That's what they wanted.
Exactly. Exactly. But see, the thing about it is, you know, I try not to look at everything from a racial, you know, view. But it's racism involved in practically everything in America.
Racism, you know, and poverty. Racism and poverty are hand. I mean, not racism, but racial issues and poverty go hand in hand. You have a very high incident of crime in the white poverty community. You have a very high incidence of crime in the black community.
But they perpetrated differently. You know what I'm saying? They perpetrated like, you know, people of color is the problem. You know, I understand. I know the game.
You know, I
know the game.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But the thing is, all these people stockpiling these weapons thing, you know what I'm saying? And Trump didn't lay his ear and let the genie out the bottle. Well, he didn't create it because it's been in motion for years. But he didn't brought it to the forefront. So now what happens after the election? What happens after election day?
Well.
You know, that's the big question. What happens?
It's
going to be very interesting.
It may be very scary, Tyrone. It may be very scary. Trump already has his followers in open carry states walking in front of Democratic
I see that.
Offices.
I see that. And they're talking about going to, you know, polling places. Well, you know, they're looking for a confrontation. That's what they're looking for. Because this ain't the 50s and 60s. You know what I'm saying? People don't bow down no more. You know, seriously. So, you know, they're gonna start something.
Were you listening a couple of weeks ago when I talked about the guy I saw at Walmart with a Trump hat on?
Yeah.
I might be a little confrontational too, though, Tyrone.
Right. But when you come to a voting place armed, you know what I'm saying, and then you challenging someone, you know what I'm saying, people ain't going for that, man. People are not going for that.
Well,
you know, I mean, I don't know anybody that I know of that's going for it.
Well, you know, maybe a lot of your friends don't watch Fox News. But Fox News in 2009 had two black guys
at a polling place. Yeah.
They ran with that story. Yes,
right.
The new Black Panthers. They ran with that story for weeks.
Yeah.
93
exactly.
News stories or something like that.
Right.
95 news stories about these two guys intimidating everybody voting.
And now they land here encouraging it.
They are. Well, even back in 2008, when this video came out, that was 8 years after Jeb Bush threw 70,000 blacks and poor people off the voting rolls in Florida so his brother W could be elected.
Right.
They stole that election.
Yeah, they stole it. Of course they stole it.
So they rigged. When the Republicans start talking about things in a negative way, like rigging elections, they're talking about that because they know they've already done it, or they're planning on doing it next time.
That's the switch and bait move.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Look at them so you don't look at us so we can do our thing.
Right.
You know, that's the oldest trick in the book.
People fall for it most every time.
Of course.
And the reason people fall for it is because the media sets them up for the fall.
Well, you know, you're responsible for self, though. People don't have common sense.
Well, people are trained. People are trained. You can be trained to be a welder. You can be trained to be a truck driver. You can be trained to be a lawyer. You can be trained to be anything. And if you're trained to be...
You're being too nice about it, saying trained. You know what I'm saying? They've been brainwashed, Dan.
Well,
from the cradle to the grave.
There is that way to look at it, too, but there is also the training element. The people understand and believe what they are told.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had Fox News telling people a bunch of hoo-ha for, I don't know, 20-some years.
I watch Fox News all the time. As a matter of fact, I listen to Hannity, Rush Limbaum. I listen to all of them, and I listen to them because really, I want to know what they're up to. I want to see the poison and the foolishness they throw out there. I watch them, you know.
Well,
every day.
Tyrone, do you listen to Limbaugh on the radio?
Oh yes.
Have you tried Have you tried listening to Tom Hartman?
No, I haven't heard him. Is he worse?
No, he's a liberal.
Oh, he's a liberal?
8:20 a.m.
Oh, 8:20 a.m., okay.
WCPT.
Okay.
Chicago Progressive.
When is he on?
11 to 2, just like Rush.
Okay.
I don't listen to Rush anymore. I only listen to Tom Hartman. We are on the fringe of being able to receive that station. But if you've got a good receiver, it comes in pretty good. Yeah. I don't know what part of town you live in. I live about 15 miles south of Champaign and another 15 miles east of Champaign. So it's pretty dicey down there. Right. But you can get his the Tom Hartman Show 11 to 2 on WCPT 8:20 a.m. And I highly recommend that you give that a
check it out. But like I said, the only reason why I listen to them, you know, because I want to see exactly, you know, what they're up to.
Well, I made that mistake for a lot of years.
It amazes me what they say. And, people believe.
I apologize, Tyrone. I didn't say you were making a mistake. To me, it was
no,
a mistake. To me, it was a mistake listening to Rush Limbaugh. Because once in a while, he does say something that you can find some common ground on. But his comments today, or rather on the 12th, about the problem with rape is it only requires one word for it to be rape, and that's consent. And if we just did away with consent, there would be no rape. That's not what he said, but that was the implication and the inference that could easily be drawn.
Right.
Because the Trumpster was not guilty of a sexual assault.
Right. Of course he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? They might as well, dismiss the lawsuit off of Bill Cosby as well, according to the standards of the Republicans.
Yeah. You're right.
You know, and throw all the rest of them out.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Stan, I gotta take it in, man. You know, the wife waiting on me, man. You know, so it was nice talking to you, man. I appreciate the show. You know, I listen to you, you know, every week. But I don't think these people gonna change their heart, man. You know, I think they got the heart of Pharaoh, man. You know, they gonna go down with the ship.
I don't understand why data doesn't get people's attention. It takes a long time to turn somebody around. My wife right now was a staunch Republican for the first year or so that we were married. I saw her every day. I mean, it took a lot of pointing things out.
A lot of work.
And that's just one person. And I'm only on here once a week, for God's sakes. How long is it going to? How many years do I have to be here to turn one person?
Right. Well, congratulations,
Tyrone. Right, thanks.
Man. All right, man. Have a nice one, man.
You have a great one, Tyrone.
All right, man.
And don't forget to vote.
Oh, I'm going to vote.
All right.
I'm going to vote. You ain't got to tell me that. I talk about that to people every day.
I hope you do.
You know,
I need to talk more about it, too.
Yep. That's all I talk about every day when I come in contact with people. Vote. All right, Stan. Have a nice evening, man.
You too, sir.
All
be
right.
good.
Bye,
be kind.
All right.
And be safe.
All right. You too, man. All right.
Bye-bye. My friend Tyrone, that was a nice conversation. Very insightful. I hadn't realized that Melania Trump had referred to Donald Trump's comments as a 59-year-old person boy talk. Oh. Donald is not exactly my favorite guy. This is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You're listening to The Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. There's one reason I do this show, folks. It's for you. Keith Urban, for you.
Fire, I didn't feel a thing, but suddenly I was rising higher, and I felt like I just made the biggest mistake. When I thought about my unborn child, when I thought about my wife, and the answer rang out clear from somewhere up above. No greater gift has man than to lay down his life for love. Trying to be a hero, I don't wanna die, but right now in this moment.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You're listening to The Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Here's another public service announcement.
For decades, Champaign Telephone Company has built their reputation by delivering forward-thinking products, competitive pricing, and personal customer service. With CTC, businesses can spend less time trying to understand what customers are saying and more time communicating with them. CTC is located at 1300 South Neal Street in Champaign or online at ctc.biz. Phone is 217-344-4444 or visit the showroom.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1. We've got about 43 minutes before the debate, 47 minutes before the debate, so no, that clock goes the other way. We have about 35 minutes before the debate, and I want to give you it's getting to the point where some corporate media anchors are starting to push back against the ridiculous statements of Donald Trump and his supporters. One of Donald Trump's supporters was on a CNN show yesterday with Anderson Cooper, Scotty Nell Hughes, and excuse me, there were a couple people on there. There were actually four people on there. But anyway, Anderson Cooper had enough from a Trump surrogate that he pushed back a little bit. Let me let you hear the clip about them talking about Donald Trump's open mic episode.
So here's the deal. I think that the fact that this comes from O'Keefe is a reason to withhold judgment. It's a reason to withhold judgment because this guy literally is Mr. Pinocchio. If there's a more a less trusted figure in American politics, I don't know who it is.
That's right.
But if any of this is even remotely true, it's very disturbing.
Well, let me point this out about James O'Keefe. Let me be the second person to defend him. Remember, Acorn lost their taxpayer funding because of James O'Keefe and his investigation into housing fraud and what was going on. But still, then talk to the Republicans and Democrats. Well, I don't know about false.
He successfully stampeded the Congress into doing something
horrific. So he stampeded them. So he fooled all of the House.
He did. In fact, all that turned out to be false.
But what we're finding out is you cannot sit there and discredit him. But he's not Mr. Pinocchio. His work actually has accomplished things. I'm sorry that it doesn't fit your narrative that Trump supporters are horrible and they're for violence. It actually shows that, once again, they were instigated. That the whole year we've been demonized, saying that we are just the ones that are causing all this violence at our rallies. And this just proves, like the Chicago rally, like it proves about the woman with COPD, that they were sent in to instigate. It wasn't necessarily to be a part of the Democratic
process.
There's no
proof that any of it happened.
Well, there it is. They claim it right here. They had no reason on secret tape to lie about it.
Well, by the way, that's like saying Donald Trump had no reason to lie about, molesting women on a tape to Billy Bush.
It's a completely different thing. This is a conversation with one other. No.
Okay.
This is much worse.
There is a certain amount of hypocrisy. I mean, either, you can believe Donald Trump was bragging about something he didn't actually do. You can believe these people on a tape were bragging about something they didn't do to make themselves more important. I'm not saying they did. I don't know who's right and who's wrong in this, but it's strange to say one person's bragging.
One demonized an entire movement. Trump supporters have been made out to be the most evil people, and that's not right. It's not fair. The most peaceful.
But listen,
go ahead, David.
Obviously.
So the most peaceful of people have to wear guns in public in front of the opposition people's offices. The most peaceful have to be antagonistic like that. Anderson Cooper finally pushed back a little bit against this female Trump surrogate. Let's see if I can find her name here. Yeah, it was Hughes. That's exactly who it was. That's what I thought. Her name is Scotty Nell Hughes. Scotty Nell Hughes says that when the tape was made of Donald Trump bragging about grabbing women by their private parts without permission, that was just locker room talk. Just him trying to make himself look bigger. But when a video from James O'Keefe, the great falsifier of videos, comes out showing a couple of Democratic operatives bragging about setting up people to break up or do bad things at Trump rallies, those people really did it. Trump really didn't do it. Double standard. Trump's words, he didn't do. Their words, they absolutely did. Double standard. Neither one of those people was speaking in a public forum that they thought they were going to be recorded and their words were going to be later played back for them. They were all three speaking in private. The two Democratic operatives were speaking at a bar while they were drinking beer, for crying out loud. Donald Trump, apparently, since he's teetotaler, a non-drinker, whatever you want to call it, must have been clear-eyed and clear-headed. The other guys could have had one or two too many and were just kind of blowing themselves up. Now, right now, both of those guys are no longer affiliated with Clinton's campaign. One was fired and the other quit. One was fired and the other was given the opportunity to quit, is probably more likely what it was. But Donald Trump hasn't quit. Double standard. You see what I'm saying? And then the reality of Alex Jones sending people to Bill Clinton events with T-shirts that say Clinton is a rapist on them. And he's paying these people $1,000 if they just get on the air and $5,000 if they get on the air and their voice is recorded. So he's paying people to disrupt Democratic events, and this Republican operative wants to forget about that. And why Anderson Cooper didn't bring that up is beyond me as well. But you really can't fire Alex Jones because the ditto heads out there love him. Because he's an extremist flamethrower. Sometimes I am so confused. Or at least I say I am. 31 minutes past the hour. Here's our last public service announcement.
Programming at WEF is sponsored in part by The Upper Bout, a retail music store with a different kind of attitude. The Upper Bout has an extensive selection of guitars, amps, accessories, and more. They offer lessons as well as sponsor in-store concerts. All the information as well as online shopping is available at www.theupperbout.com. The Upper Bout is located at 723 South Neal Street in Champaign and is open Monday to Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Add your voice to the program. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call, add your voice to the program. Let's figure stuff out. Is there anything left to figure out about Donald Trump? We know he's a misogynist. We know he's a an assaulter of women. We know that he is a racist. We know that he is a xenophobe. We know that he is a religious bigot. What else do we need to know? Every one of you fall into one of those five categories. It could be your religion he's bigoted against.
No, he's bigoted against the Muslims.
1.6 billion Muslims in the world. If Muslims was the issue of terrorism, would we be sitting here talking tonight? And the answer to that is obvious. It took 19, 22, 23 people, maybe in total, including KSM, to bring down the World Trade Center back in 2001. Well, add one more name to that, George W. Bush. Because he didn't want to know about any kind of terrorism coming from Al-Qaeda. Because one of his big sponsors, the Bin Laden family, was the head of it. Really? Russia was the big threat to Bush 43. Condoleezza Rice, her expertise was in Russian issues, Russian international issues. That's why she was national security advisor, was because of her expertise on Russia. Today, we have Donald Trump asking Russia to break in to State Department servers and steal emails. He asked them to do that. Of course, he covered that by saying it could be a 400-pound man in his basement, but that shows his bigotry against people of weight, too. That's six. Oh, my God. I think he's bigoted against ugly people, too, because some of them he wouldn't talk to. He wouldn't have anything to do with. So if you're ugly, or you're fat, or you're a woman, or you have the wrong religion, or you're the wrong race, or if you're from the wrong country, wrong. That's for the Trumpsters. You all know that I like to watch Rachel Maddow. And tonight, Rachel Maddow and the MSNBC team will be giving the after party from the debate. Okay? They're going to spend a couple of hours talking about it, and then they'll rerun the debate in its entirety. That's what typically happens on MSNBC on presidential debate nights. Here is a story about one of Donald Trump's most recent hires for his campaign. I'm going to let you hear the story because Rachel's a much better talker than I am. Rachel Maddow, Fox News.
This video, this one squib of video of the guys with the braided beard hair in Philadelphia turned into the rallying cry of Tea Party supporters all the way across the country, including Alaska. It's just a remarkable thing, and it was a remarkable study in how something called the Fox News Channel works, because that little tiny squib of tape didn't look random and inconsequential on Fox News.
two members of the New Black Panther Party, one brandishing a nightstick, intimidating voters and poll watchers. Race and politics are driving DOJ decisions when it comes to enforcing the law.
These men were accused of intimidating white voters, but the Department of Justice ultimately dropped almost every charge against them despite the evidence.
The Black Panthers also stood guard at polling places. As I just mentioned, 2008 in Philly, the group's leader with a nightstick in his hand.
Serious allegations today that the decision to drop virtually all of a now infamous voter intimidation case against members of the New Black Panther Party may have reached all the way to the White House.
Whole swaths of the Fox News channel were built on this story, on that 80 seconds of tape. I mean, for a while, you could not avoid that tape on the Fox News channel. In 2010, the liberal watchdog Media Matters, they counted 95 different Fox News channel segments in the span of just over 2 weeks, all based on that 60-second, 80-second video. So that video became a study in how Fox News works. But it's also a study in the roots of the Donald Trump campaign, because Fox News got that video from a guy named Mike Roman, who runs a right-wing website called Election Journal, where he describes himself as a veteran political consultant and private investigator. And he shopped that video to Fox News, whereupon Fox News ran 90 segments on it over a two-week period and beat that dead horse for years. Mike Roman went on to be a regular contributor to right-wing Fever Swamp Breitbart.com. He wrote lots of articles about how the New Black Panther Party was undermining American elections. Those two guys. And all the ways the Justice Department was turning a blind eye because, well, you know why. We tend to think of the New Black Panther thing as a ridiculous Fox News story, and rightly so. But if you are looking for the root of this, how people in Alaska were telling me that Barack Obama and Eric Holder were part of a big black conspiracy to steal elections all over the country, and the New Black Panthers were operating in every city in the country, how a crisis of confidence in the integrity of American democracy gets its start with accusations of scary black nationalists engaged in voter intimidation. And if you're looking for the root of all that, you are looking at this guy, Mike Roman, this merchant of doubt, this guy Mike Roman, who started that whole thing. And Mike Roman is who the Donald Trump campaign has just hired to run its nationwide election protection operation for the presidential election this year, 3 weeks from today. The Guardian newspaper reporting today that Mike Roman is the guy who will oversee all poll watching efforts for Donald Trump. What could possibly go wrong?
Yes, what could possibly go wrong? Well, in about 3 weeks, I think that many Republicans are going to realize what could possibly go wrong. And you know what? That will be good for our country. It will be great for our country. I have never been a full-blown Hillary Clinton fan, supporter, backer, anything. I wanted Bernie Sanders to be the presidential nominee of the Democratic Party this year. I could give you a lot of reasons for that, but the biggest reason that I could give you is because we need fresh blood in our government periodically. We need new people coming in. When we have a single family controlling the White House for probably as much as 16 years, husband and wife, father and son, I don't think that's good for our country. Most of us thought that Bill Clinton was going to govern from the left, and it turns out he governed from the right of center. Because without Bill Clinton, we would have never gotten NAFTA put upon us, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think the Democrats would have held out against a Republican president and not allowed NAFTA to pass the Senate. Because back in those days, it was a treaty, and it had to have Senate approval. And without the Democrats pushing it through, it wasn't going to happen. The Republicans wanted NAFTA. A majority of Republicans have voted for all of these terrible deals. A minority of Democrats have provided them with the winning tickets. Democrats are generally opposed to shipping jobs of middle-class Americans to Mexico, Japan, China, India, Vietnam, just name a country with little or no wages. China uses its prisoners without pay, otherwise known as slave labor, to build things to be sold in the United States that the Chinese government then gets the money from. And that's thanks to trade agreements that we've made over the past 30 years with all of these countries and people. And all of these trade agreements have one thing in common, and that is that they cede control of our country to people in other countries. That's bad. Now, Bernie Sanders voted against these. A year or so ago, Donald Trump realized that he was opposed to these. Even though he is literally up to his armpits in debt with China and Russia. He's opposed to these countries and wants to bring them back to earth so that they won't be such dastardly competitors in the marketplace or something. He wants to do away with some of these treaties. President Barack Obama said he wanted to do away with some of these treaties too, but then when he got elected, he did a right face and went to the middle and did nothing to try to change NAFTA. This election will have either a Democrat or a Republican winning the White House. If Donald Trump wins with his belief that it's okay to declare, to default, rather, on our national debt, we are in more trouble than George W. Bush put us in. That, my friends, is a free fall. That, my friends, is crash and burn. That, my friend, is taking this country from number one in the world out of this world. Hillary Clinton has been brought to a belief that these trade agreements are not good for America unless they're good for the people of America. That's a huge step. And it's a right step. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, although that's what Republicans like to want to say they want to do. You remember, shrink the American government small enough that it can be drowned in a bathtub. That's the same thing as throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and that's what Republicans have wanted to do for years. Destroy the federal government. Hillary Clinton doesn't want to destroy the federal government. She says she wants to protect middle-class people, and we need to give her a chance to do that. So we have Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton vying for the presidency of the United States, the most important job in the world. And the reality is that neither one of those two people is going to be the winner of this election. Neither one of them is. Even though they may win become president, they will win and become president, they are not going to be the winner of this election cycle. The winner of this election cycle is a Massachusetts senator by the name of Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren is a future president of the United States unless she literally kills somebody on the middle of Fifth Avenue in New York City, which I'm pretty sure is not going to happen. You see, Elizabeth Warren has that's the problem right there. Okay. For whatever reason, that the audio is muted on this clip right now. We'll take the mute button off. So now it will play. We'll get back to the beginning of it. Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren attacked Donald Trump on Twitter on Wednesday over his repeated claims that the election is rigged and that voter fraud is going to be rampant in cities like Philadelphia and Chicago. In a series of impassioned tweets, Warren called Trump a sore loser and wrote that he is losing fair and square. She also said he needs to put on big boy pants and accept the outcome of the election. Warren also wrote an op-ed post for the Washington Post today about the myth of rigged elections.
Well, the myth of rigged elections. The Republicans have been playing this song for a very long time. That's why they have to have voter ID, is so that there will be no illegal voting. The election won't be rigged if you have voter ID. But now you've got all of these muckety-mucks in the Republican Party that Trump is using the word rigged to talk about election fraud. All of these muckety-mucks in the Republican Party are realizing that their election fraud being linked to Donald Trump's rigged statements implies a much worse scenario. And the fact of the matter is, it is the Republican Party that have rigged elections. Jeb Bush, in 2000, threw 70,000 black and poor people off the voting rolls in Florida so his brother would win. In Ohio, there were precincts that had more votes cast than there were registered voters in those precincts, and many of those precincts ended up with zero or very few Democratic votes. In other words, John Kerry votes, because that was in 2004. George W. Bush was elected President of the United States on two truly rigged elections. And this year, you have Republican state after Republican state after Republican state trying to rig the election so the Republicans can win by throwing black and poor people off the voting rolls. They do that by saying that if your name is Jose Jimenez, you're automatically a criminal and get thrown off the voting rolls. You're a felon, you get thrown off the voting rolls. You're whatever and get thrown off the voting rolls. When the Jose Jimenez was Jose A. Jimenez, and the guy being thrown off the voting rolls is Jose B. Jimenez. They take these tactics, the Republicans do, and they have done this for 20 years now, to rig elections. So there is rigging of elections, and Donald Trump is talking about rigged elections, but he's blaming the Democrats for rigging the elections. And the reality is the rigged elections have came from Republicans in the most recent history. You want to go back to 1960? Okay, that election in Chicago was rigged. I give you that. You want to go back to the Bush 43 election in Florida? Will you give me that his brother rigged that election for W? Will you give that to me? And the answer is no, you won't. You conservatives will not recognize that because conservatives cannot accept a single standard. I, a liberal, a Democrat, can see the reality of things because, as I've mentioned a time or two before, I am a reasonable man. If a lot of votes are cast for people that are dead in Chicago, somebody had to figure that out, how to do that. And that's what happened in 1960. But in the year 2000, people were watching the rolls of dead people to make sure nobody was voting for them. And that doesn't happen anymore. But what does happen is governors and Republican secretaries of states are rigging the election rolls so that people get thrown off the election rolls that should not be. And they get thrown off because they anticipate that they will vote Democratic. And they can't stand to have the people of this country's voice be heard. They can't stand it. The Republicans can't stand it. That's why every election cycle, somebody wants to do away with the 17th Amendment. Uh-oh. It's 10 minutes before the hour. I've lost a listener. And you know what? This show is coming to a close pretty soon. I have about 5 minutes left in the program. If you want to get your TV cranked up or get your radio retuned to WDWS, I don't blame you. Because as soon as I can get to my car, in my car, and down the road, I'm going to be listening to the debate as well. I think it's important to know what these people stand for. And frankly, Donald Trump may have been more open in what he stands for than Hillary Clinton. Because Donald Trump has admitted that he wants tax cuts for the 0.2%. He wants to build xenophobic walls that will do no good at all except stroke his ego and maybe increase his fortunes if one of his building companies gets the contract to build those. Golly, I wonder what the chances of that could be. Anybody say Halliburton? His misogyny, his racism, his belief that the extremists in the right-wing media are godlike people and worthy of being advisors to his campaign. He's been more open, and that's scary as hell. And that's why he cannot win. Hillary's positions have changed over the past many months. She was opposed to Bernie Sanders when Bernie Sanders was espousing these positions, and now she's in favor of them. That's a change, and I hope it's real, and we have to trust that it's real. Because if Donald Trump wins this election, the country is gone. as a democracy, as a freedom-loving nation, that robed statue on Staten Island, not on Staten Island, but in the harbor of New York City, needs to be taken down if Donald Trump wins. I'm going to get out of here with a little music, my friends. I hope you're safe till next Wednesday. I'll see you then about 6 p.m. I'm going to get out of here with a little David Rovick's Resistance.
You can say that it's about the savages. You can say you have a better way to live. You can call it manifest destiny. You can talk of all your civilization will give. You can say that we're a thing of history, and progress is the future you will bring. You can send your armies to these mountains. You can say we'll prosper beneath your king. But there will always be resistance. The next battle will always be near. As long as you have everything, there will be those who have nothing to fear. And little by little, or maybe all at once, you will lose. Because our future is not yours to choose. Stop the communists. You can say that our ideals can't succeed. You can say that competition is the only way, and a global system based on greed. You can call yourself a Democrat. You can call yourself whatever you will. You can keep on stamping out the fires you start, so you might stay on top of the hill. There will